stormy wind.
Once again, for you young folks, that is cursive writing. And that picture over there is a shirt. Okay? You didn't know, did you? Okay. All right. I see how you're going to be this morning. I'd like to speak on a subject this morning that's very close to my heart. Compassion. As we have been reading through Luke since January, I haven't stopped yet, but I am just overwhelmed with the compassion that our Lord had. Some 12 times in the Gospels, the word compassion is used. And I'd like to look at those this morning. But every time the word compassion is used, there's always an action. There's always something that was done. I'd like to define compassion this morning as the following. Compassion is the response to the suffering of others that motivates a desire to help them. Compassion motivates people to go out of their way to help the physical, the spiritual, or emotional hurts and pains of another. I'll read that one more time. Compassion is the response to the suffering of others that motivates a desire to help them. Compassion motivates people to go out of their way to help the physical, the spiritual, or emotional hurts and pains of another. This morning, as you look at your spiritual makeup, is compassion part of our lives? As we have been talking about follow me, following Jesus, one of the characteristics that Jesus had was that he was a very compassionate person. Where's compassion in our lives? I look over this congregation and I've been thinking about this for over a month. And I just see so many illustrations as I look out at your faces and I see compassion. I see out there folks that have taken in their grandchildren to raise. I see out there folks that have brought in their parents to take care of their parents. I see people that have taken in strangers, people they didn't even know, into their homes. I see people that have taken care of brethren that are ill or having problems in life. I see people that have taken in children with disabilities, as Brother Bill Capehart. And I'm just overwhelmed with all of the compassion that I see. Compassion always included action. As Sam read just a moment ago about sometimes there is no compassion. And I want us to stop and think for a moment in our lives about maybe times that we should have had compassion but failed to do so. Let's look now at some examples of compassion as we find in the Gospels. The first one's found in Matthew chapter 9 and verses 35 and 36. And I'm not going to read the entire context of all these for the sake of time, but just maybe a verse or two. But in Matthew 9, verse 35 and 36, "And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad, as sheep having no shepherd." Here we see Jesus doing some healing. Here we see Jesus doing some teaching because he had compassion upon them. Matthew 14 and verse 14. It says, "And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick." Had compassion, healed their sick. Matthew chapter 15 and verse 32, it says, "Then Jesus called his disciples unto him and said, I have compassion on the multitude, because they continue with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat, and I will not send them away fasting, lest they faint in the way." You continue reading, what did Jesus do? He had compassion and he fed them. Also we see in Matthew chapter 18, and verse 27, it says, "Then the Lord of the servant was moved with compassion and loosed him and forgave him the debt." Here we see a master. He had a servant. What did he do? He let him go and he forgave him his debt. Matthew 20, verse 34, not going to read the passage, but it says, "Jesus had compassion and he healed their sight." Mark chapter 1 and verse 41 talks about Jesus healing the leper, having compassion. Mark chapter 6 and verse 34 says Jesus taught them and also he fed them. Mark chapter 9 and verse 22 sees we can see Jesus having compassion and casting out the spirit. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13, Jesus having compassion and healing the widow's son. Now, if you will, turn your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. Luke chapter 10, verses 30 through 35. This is the lesson of the Good Samaritan. I used this several weeks ago when I was talking about change. Here we see in verse 33, it says, "But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him." Just summarizing what this was about. A priest and Levite passing by on the other side. The good Samaritan, seeing this man that was beaten and was robbed and being left for dead, stopped and took care of him. He had compassion. What did it cost him? What did it cost him to have compassion on this man along this road? I think in life, sometimes we're going to run into situations like this where we really don't know where it's going to end. But we see someone that needs compassion. We give that compassion, and we really don't know what the cost is going to be. But what did it cost the Good Samaritan? Well, let's look. It says he took care of his wounds. It said he put oil and wine on the wounds. It says he gave him a ride. It took him to the inn. He took care of him there at the inn. He stayed the night. He paid for him. And he said on his return trip, he would continue to reimburse for whatever else was needed to take care of this man. I got a question. If we provide compassion today, what's it going to cost us? An hour? Maybe. There's times that we can show compassion in an hour. What about a day? What about a week? What about a month? What about a year? What about years? I could look at Mike and Bev and I can see years of compassion. Sometimes we don't know. Monetarily, what might it cost us to show compassion? Have you ever had somebody in need and you pulled out your wallet and you gave them $5 and it took care of the need that they had at the moment? Have you ever taken your wallet out and given somebody $20 to take care of their need? Have you ever taken your wallet out and given somebody $50? Now, we're getting up in the range where most of us don't carry around that kind of money, maybe. What about $100? You ever think about giving somebody $100? What about $500? Have you ever been compassionate and handed somebody $500? What about $1,000? What about $5,000? What about $10,000? Have we ever shown that type of compassion? We see the early Christians, if I remember right, seeing people that had need and selling land and selling houses. And maybe when it comes to compassion, sometimes we don't think large enough. Sometimes we minimize our giving. I always remember that lesson that Jeff gave on prayer, thinking big. Praying big. What about our compassion? And I want to read along with this. I want us to turn to the book of Psalms, the 24th chapter in the first verse. And folks, since I've been reading in Luke, I have really mentally been working myself over. Let's look at this passage in Psalms, the 24th chapter in the first verse. It says, "The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein." I sum up that passage. Everything that we have is not ours. It belongs to God. And here's where I'm at right now mentally. I'm trying to get out of my mind thinking that this is my house and my car and my money. It belongs to God. And as I also read through Luke, doesn't Luke also tell us to have faith in God? That God is going to provide our needs? Sometimes when you have compassion, it'll cost us time, it'll cost us dollars. It might even cost us our personal safety. John? John's been there. He knows. You might even bring somebody into your home and they might tear up your home. They might ruin the brand new carpet that's down in the bedroom. And you may have to take that carpet up off the floor, and as these two little girls are in there, you might decide to paint the floor because you don't want to put down new carpet. And while you have that paint can open and you're not there, one of those little girls might take the paint and paint your TV set. Jalen. Things like this really happen. You might have to come up with airfare to Florida to go pick up two girls. You might be audited by the IRS because of these folks that are in your house. You might be audited by the IRS 2 years in a row for having these children in your home. You might lose sleep. You might have to spend some time in the courtroom. You might be out of your comfort zone. But you know, when we have compassion for somebody that has a need, sometimes we don't know what it's going to cost us. We don't know what that price is going to be. Let's go to another one. Luke chapter 15. Luke chapter 15 and verses 11 through 24 talks about the lost son. I'm not going to read this, but I'll just paraphrase. The younger son wanted his inheritance. He was given his inheritance. He went out and he spent it frivolously. He got to the point in life where he didn't have anything and he decided, I'm going to return to my father. I'm going to return home. Because there at least I'll have something to eat. As he returned, as he came back, look at verse 20 of that context. Luke chapter 15, verse 20, it says, But he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and he kissed him. The father had compassion. The father gave him a robe. The father gave him a ring. The father put shoes on his feet. The father provided the fatted calf and had a banquet there for his son. But yet there was a problem with the elder son. The elder son did not have the same compassion that the father did. And sometimes when we have compassion for other people, sometimes people will not be looking through the same set of eyes that we are. And sometimes some of our family members may not see what we see as we're providing that compassion for those in need. But there's a question. What can I do to help someone that is having compassion? Maybe I don't see it through the same set of eyes that they do. But I know that one of my brothers or sisters in here is having compassion towards someone. What can I do? I can support them mentally. I could go to their home and maybe relieve them of watching children or whatever situation is there. I can go into their home and help them mentally and pat them on the back and encourage them to continue having compassion, or I can help them out financially. I need to see what I can do. Maybe I don't have a home big enough to bring people in. Maybe I don't have the finances to do what other folks do. Everyone can't do some of these things. But I, as a child of God, what can I do to assist in having that compassion? Well, I want you to turn, if you will, to Mark, the 5th chapter. Mike gave a lesson on this several months ago, and I'd like to read these few verses here. And I want you to be thinking about compassion as I read these verses. Mark chapter 5. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, unto the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man of an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But he, when saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him, and cried with a loud voice, and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. For he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he asked him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send them out of the country. Now there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine, that we may enter into them. And forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. There were about 2,000, and they were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled, and told it in the city and in the country. And they went out to see what it was done. And they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil, and had legion sitting and clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. And they saw, it was told, how it befell to him that he was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray to him to depart out of their coasts. And when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now let's sum this up. Here was a scary situation. Here was a man that was possessed with a demon. Here's a man that was living in a graveyard, man that was living in the tombs, in the caves, a man that they tried to bind with chains and he couldn't because he was so strong, a man that was out of his mind, a man that was naked, a man that was cutting himself. What did Jesus do? Did he turn his back and run? Did he leave? Jesus had compassion on him. What am I saying? Sometimes having compassion isn't going to be easy. Sometimes it might be scary. Let's go to the shirt on the board. That is a shirt. Chelsea Sullivan wore this shirt to services a month or two ago, and I can't get it out of my mind. Here's what it said. It said, Love God, serve others, and then here's the part that just has really made me do some soul searching. Do something That isn't our normal tendency, is it? To take on hard things. We generally don't like to do that. No matter where we're at, what we're doing, we don't want to do hard things. But you know, as a Christian, sometimes some of the things that we're going to have to do are going to be hard. I guess the question I'm asking this morning when it comes to compassion, are we really ready to tackle maybe some of those hard things that are out there? Here was this man that was living in his graveyard, and it was a scary situation. I understand that. But what do we do when we run into situations that maybe we're uncomfortable with? What do we do? Let's look for just a moment on some results of compassion. Sometimes when we're compassionate, it doesn't go the way that maybe we think it's going to go. Maybe the results aren't what we think they should be. But I want to read another passage. Sam read the negative side of Matthew 25. I want to look at the positive side. Beginning with verse 35 of Matthew 25, and I'm just about ready to close. It says, "For I was hungered, and you gave me meat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. I was naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me." And you know, I look at this congregation, I see many wonderful things, many wonderful acts of compassion. But look at this next passage. "Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when we saw thee hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink, when we saw thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee, or when we saw thee sick or in prison and came unto thee, and the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of my brethren, ye have done it unto me." I want to talk about Norman right now. Norman knows I'm going to do this. I've already talked to him. I love roasting him, but I did talk to him ahead of time. Seriously, if some 20 or 25 years ago, Gerald and Mary did not have compassion on Norman, where would he be? I was one of those that was not willing to bring Norman into my home. But Gerald and Mary did. And I thank my God that they had the vision and the heart to do what they did. Norman and I now, we're very good friends. We may not sound like it at times, but we are. But there's a success story of compassion. And another one I want to talk to you about is that woman sitting back there with a yellow shirt on. That's my wife. I really believe that if you go to the dictionary and look up compassion, you're going to see her picture. Because there's a woman that's full of compassion. About 14 and a half years ago, she took in those two girls. I went along for the ride. I did what I needed to do. But she's the one that was full of the compassion. And look at Jalen today. This congregation has done so many wonderful things with Bob Visa and so many others.
I encourage you to continue to show your compassion, your love, your care. This is what it's all about as we read through Luke and we see the compassion of Jesus. Jesus says, follow me. And this is what we need to do. We need to fill our lives with one thing. We need to fill it full of compassion. But Steve Blickenstaff brought something to my mind that as we were reading through Luke, Steve says, we've got to give God the glory. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about praising God. It's about following Jesus. It's about showing the world what compassion and the love of Christ is all about. That's my lesson for this morning. Tonight we're going to be talking about some lessons from Luke, about six different lessons. I encourage you to come back. This morning we want to sing the invitation song. Are you a child of God this morning? You want to become a Christian, be immersed into water for the remission of your sins. Maybe you've done that. Maybe you haven't been faithful to your Lord. Maybe there's a problem in your life you want the brethren here to pray with you about. Won't you come as we stand and sing?